Hi, I'm Hugh Weber. Welcome to the Potluck Society. Each week, in partnership with South Dakota Public Broadcasting, we celebrate ordinary individuals who are building extraordinary community. This week, we meet a manual laborer, a graffiti artist, and a community arts engagement specialist. You might be asking what they have in common. Well, they're the same person. Please meet my friend, Tyler Reed.
How's your week been?
Must have been good, because I'm dazed, I'm a little tired, and I guess that signifies a good week. I'm Tyler Siamese Reed. Siamese is the name I have adopted for the artwork that I do. I'm a graffiti artist and community engagement coordinator for the Rapid City Arts Council. I'm passionate about public art space and creating a community that is empowered through their own creation and giving people a voice that don't receive the opportunity to speak as often.
So, I don't know about you, but I kind of stopped listening when he said his street name was Siamese. Where on earth do graffiti names come from?
There's three ways that you get a name in graffiti. When graffiti started, you were given a name by a mentor who said, "This is your name, run with it." That, you know, got phased out probably in the mid-80s. You know, it was a much rarer thing. Nowadays, there's really two ways that you come up with a name. One, you pick something that's relevant to you. It has some kind of significance or, you know, a backstory, or it's a name that represents you in some way. For a lot of people, though, it's an art form that's based on lettering and creating beautiful letters. You have to pick a name that has letters that you can create very beautifully, ones that appeal to you. So I like the curves of an S and all the points that comes off A's and M's and different ways that I can manipulate those. So I put together letters that I really loved, and I came up with the name Siamese. And at the time, I was also really into computer lingo and being able to switch out specific letters for numbers. So you can actually create the word Siamese with numbers with the exception of the M. So it'd be 514M353 or something like that. That's how I came up with my name. It's because those are the letters that I can rock the best.
But Tyler's story doesn't start out in graffiti. It starts out somewhere less expected.
I don't come from a professional background. I come from the factories. I'm a manual laborer. I was for well over a decade and a half. I can't even remember now, but I used to weld cattle gate, and I remember how slow the time went by. And just, I remember one day where I looked at my watch and I welded and I figured about 30 minutes had gone by. I swear, 3 minutes had gone by, and I sat down and just tried to control my anger for about 2 minutes, because I was just like, this can't be happening. It's a beautiful thing to be able to contribute, through welding, through physical labor. But it was not my thing. It wasn't where I was meant to be. So I just needed to play a little bit more, you know, experiment and those kinds of things.
Tyler also needed to find a way to be more social, more connected, to express himself. Art and graffiti provided some of that.
You know, I used to be a pretty quiet person, very, very reserved, and I had a hard time expressing myself. And I always had a yearning, a desire to interact with people and to express myself without necessarily being there, being the body and the voice that's doing that physically. And that's always been kind of the lead the motivator to create for me. But beyond that, as far as graffiti being the thing that clicked in, and I liked the mystery and the enigma of it all. And I liked, you know, the final product. Graffiti art is part performance art and part visual, and whether or not you're actually there for the performance, when you leave that space, somebody's going to come along and they're going to see a, you know, 8-foot by 20-foot work of art and say, wow, you know, somebody was here in this space and left this behind. And they start to wonder, you know.
I've definitely found myself in that place of wonder. Why did they place it here? Why did they choose these colors, these words, these letter forms? Graffiti speaks to us, and it spoke to a young Tyler Reed as well.
You know, when I started the art form, when it first clicked, I was young, and it was in the early 90s, and I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that it spoke to me. So I tried to emulate what I thought graffiti art and street art culture was, and I didn't do a great job of it, and I got in a lot of trouble for it. And so that kind of put me on a different path for a while, and so I quit. I kind of retired from the art form for quite a while, but I found myself always trying to fill that void with other things. I was scheming, trying to figure out, you know, like I remember vaguely, you know, when I was welding automotive parts in a factory in Michigan, I had a sketchbook with me, and I was trying to design, I don't know if it was an ad campaign or if it was, you know, some kind of art or what. Then I got a job out by the train yard, and I kind of went, you know, that called to me. And so I went that route for a while, and then I found Art Alley, which, you know, is a place that welcomes all artists. And so that was a complete game changer from there.
The discovery of Art Alley in Rapid City would represent the peak of Tyler's creative process, but it also coincided with another life milestone.
The peak of my creative process actually coincided with the birth of my first child. And so it was tricky. I was juggling my need to get out there and express myself with a very important responsibility to be there for my family, for my wife. And, you know, that process involved first, you know, waking up, going to work, working 10 hours at a factory, and then coming home and just enjoy some time together. And then, you know, come 10:30 at night, that's when I had to get out there and start exploring me as a person. And sometimes, a lot, you know, it was a situation where I'd go to Art Alley and start painting and just paint through the night. On average, I think it was 2 to 3 nights a week, I would just work, just paint through the night, go without sleep, and then the next 2 to 3 days I would rest and just, you know, do my responsibilities and then crash and make sure I got my sleep. And in my early 30s, you know, I could hang, I could do that. And now it's steady. 9:30 is bedtime. You know, I'm sorry, but the world is dead to me beyond that point. So I can't hang like I did when I was in my early 30s.
But more has changed for Tyler than just his late night painting stamina.
It's only been, I'm just coming up on my 5-year work anniversary. I started with the Arts Council, and I work as their community engagement coordinator, and it was a whole new world of things to learn. And they took a huge risk in hiring me because I didn't have any formal education like my coworkers. Sometimes you feel like, you know, there's this thing called imposter syndrome, and I feel that quite a bit. But I also am at the point where I can kind of diffuse some of that feeling by saying, yeah, but you know, I have done some pretty cool things too. So I may not have the degree or some of the knowledge, but I can just be me and put my heart into it and remain positive and supportive, and I can make amazing things happen as well.
But there's a bigger question here for me. When a creative becomes a community leader, how does that personal work inform that community work? How do those experiences turn into education for others?
I create personal work a lot less lately. You know, my art has become facilitating opportunities for other people to explore further with their own art, create programming that supports that as well. But just the process of creating is so empowering. I mean, at the end of the, and this is something I talk about a lot when I talk to young people about what it is about graffiti I like, and it's overarching beyond just you know, murals or whatnot. It's the process of creating. Like, I think that so often, you know, all things in moderation, but so often in our society today, we are about curating an existence through products, through purchasing and emulating things that are advertised to us through commercials. You know, we want to be the guy in the Rolex watch ad, or you know, the guy from the Nike commercial, or the person in the music video, if that's still a thing. I don't know, it was when I was a kid. I love, you know, a well-marketed product as well, but at the end of our lives, if we go back and we say, you know, what did we do with ourselves, and we just have a long list of things that we owned, we never tested ourselves through that creative process. Creating things helps us kind of center and say, I am here and I built this thing. And that process really solidifies us as people. So whether it's creating a piece of artwork or rebuilding a car engine or whatever it is you do, it's just so important to create, because that really, it solidifies your existence here on Earth.
I'm curious, Tyler, do you regret anything about this transition into formal arts leadership? Do you miss the time on the factory floor or any of the work or jobs as you were beginning in the graffiti work?
I did have one job where they let me, it was kind of in between the world. I was screen printing artwork on for coffee mugs and for shot glasses for the tourism industry. And I was just running a press. I didn't make the art, anything like that, but I did enjoy that job. And one of the main things I loved is I had my mind free to wander wherever it wanted to go for 10 hours a day. And I got to listen to as many podcasts as I wanted. So that was a wonderful time for me to really just go into every nook and cranny of exploring things, and I got a lot of inspiration in that time as well. But overall, no, I don't regret it. I love this, you know, this work 100 times more than anything, and it's a great motivator, because it's like, yeah, you know, at any point, working in nonprofits arts is a paycheck is not a guarantee. It's something that you've got to continue to hustle and challenge yourself and push. And, you know, otherwise you can go back to doing what you were doing before. I spent a lot of time with art on a personal level, trying to express myself and to communicate who I was to people. And once I started to transition into a role of facilitating art for others, it became more of a support system. It became a bigger thing than just myself. Like, and I found that the more that I supported other people in their work in whatever way I could, I received that support back. And so it was much more rewarding personally, but it felt good to know that the footprint I was leaving was beyond Siamese, you know, my graffiti name. It was beyond one individual, you know. At first I thought, well, I want to leave behind a legacy for my daughters, so that when, you know, they get older, they'll be able to say, my dad was this person. And now I look at it more as an opportunity where I actually want to really change the fabric of the community that they live in, so that they can feel that effect, rather than just, you know, my dad was here, but my dad made things better.
And at least for me, there's little doubt that Tyler is in fact making things better. He was recently recognized by the Bush Foundation in St. Paul, Minnesota as a Bush Fellow, which gives him the resources, time, support, and space to pursue his true vision for his community.
There's a tool that helped change my life. You know, there were multiple things that put me on an entirely different course and trajectory. And one of them was, you know, the public art space here in Rapid City called Art Alley. It allowed me a place where I could communicate with the community and at the same time learn from them and learn what community was about. Because before that, Rapid City was a location that I lived and where I had to get resources from. And there was no sense of community to me. It was just about me and my family. Then, you know, in the process of creating art there, I got to meet people and learn, you know, who lived here and what they were about. And that interaction really led me to want to become more a part of community and be a valuable component to it. So I really believe in the power of public art spaces, and I want to help kind of build the capacity on spaces like that. I'm going to spend the next 2 years really learning about public art programs that are successful, that aren't just creating art for people to snap pictures in front of, which is it's great, but that's like the very first level of what's going on with public art. The ability to enjoy a piece of artwork as you pass it or take a picture in front of it is like the first layer of skin. And then beneath that, you've got, you know, the stories of the artists that worked with the community to create it and who was involved and why, what the purpose of it was. I want to learn more about that and help other people get a chance to have the voice that I was able to have through, you know, a public art space.
I'm confident that the public spaces that Tyler fosters and facilitates and even paints himself will embolden and empower a new generation of voices. I can't thank you enough, Tyler. Before we started our formal interview, Tyler and I talked a little bit about an upcoming trip he's taking.
I'm going to Upfest, which is Europe's largest street art festival. They've got, I believe, over 300 artists participating in it. I'm not a participating artist. It was kind of a last minute thing. I felt like, you know, managing a public art space, I've been on the facilitation business end of the stick for quite a while now. And I just needed some of the inspiration back to remember what it is that I love about these spaces so much and you know, see something bigger. I absolutely get giddy about travel. It's just something that I come home feeling really empowered from that experience. I kind of like being a lonely traveler, just from time to time going out on my own and exploring a new place. And it feels really centering to me. I've always been kind of the type that I keep it kind of sheltered, like I stay where I know where I'm supposed to be. And so if I, over the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to travel to some new cities that I've never been to before and kind of figure out how to get around them. And that was a good experience. It's a confidence booster that, you know, if you can drop yourself off in the middle of somewhere you've never been and then find your way to safety, I guess, that makes you feel like you can accomplish a little bit more.
This week's action antidote is to get lost and then find your way back to safety. Maybe that means driving a distance outside Sioux Falls or driving into Sioux Falls if you're outside the area. Maybe that means taking a day trip to Omaha or Minneapolis or Denver. Find some place that you can get lost and see what you discover. And that's it. You did it. Thanks this week, as always, to our friends at South Dakota Public Broadcasting for their continued support and partnership. Thanks to those of you that show up for me, like my friend Beth, who this week empowered me to continue to tell these stories. Thanks to all of the listeners who listen week after week to these stories of ordinary people that deserve to be told. It has been great seeing you here at the Potluck Society. I do hope we'll see you again next week. And as always, don't forget to bring an idea to pass.